Go back tonight. Fifth chapter of Galatians. I read again verses 22 and 23. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And this is truly the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, we're looking at the fruit of the Spirit. We looked at love and joy and peace. Tonight we come to look at patience, a long suffering. And I can almost hear somebody say, it's about time you got there. We are very, usually, normally, a very impatient people. An infant wants what it wants immediately. Mother may be in the middle of a very important task, but the child doesn't care. He wants to be fed right now. Doesn't even want to wait for the bottle to warm. He wants to be dried now. The mother has dinner on the stove and it must be attended to. It does not matter. He wants attention now. And as we get older, we tend to learn a little bit of patience, but not too much. I was visiting a young man this week and asked him how school was going. And he told me how great it was. He said, I just can't wait till it starts again. I didn't say it, but what else is he going to do? We want everything instantly. You know, we turn the TV on, we want an instant picture. We turn the computer on, we want it ready and booted up instantly. Everything is in nanoseconds. You know, got to have it right this minute, right this second. You know, instant everything. I'm familiar with instant coffee and instant tea and instant potatoes and instant this. Between here and home, there is a nursery that has a sign out front that has instant shade trees. I don't understand that. But we impatient people. I've heard that the definition of a split second is the length of time it takes from the time the light turns green till the fellow behind you blows his horn. Impatient. We grow impatient at the smallest things and often run out of patience with people. Now, the word translated here as patience or long-suffering is a great word in the Greek. The central meaning of this word is to keep good-tempered, or in modern language, to keep you cool. To keep you cool under provocation, not to fly off the handle. Generally speaking, the word is not used of patience in regard to things or events, but in patience in regard to people. The most illuminating thing about it is that it's very commonly used in the New Testament attitude of God and of Jesus toward people. You know, if God had been a man, I have no doubt that he would have taken his hand and wiped out this world long ago. But God is patient and long-suffering, plenteous in mercy, eager to forgive. God has that patience which bears with all our sinning and which will not cast us off. In our lives, in our attitudes toward and dealings with our fellow people, we must reproduce this loving, forbearing, forgiving, patient attitude of God toward others. And if we are to bear this fruit, we will need the strength and power of God in our dealings with other people. Let's see this fruit tonight in Jesus and in some of his disciples. And notice that regardless of what happens to them, regardless of the insult or the pain inflicted on them, those who bear this fruit do not become bitter. Do not become bitter. Jesus had every opportunity to run out of patience with people and be overcome with bitterness. His whole life was spent in loving service, and yet he was rejected by those he sought to help those he loved. Peter, you know, had been the leader of the disciple group, and yet he denied even knowing Jesus. Denied it 3 times. What an opportunity for Jesus to lose patience, to become bitter. Yet after the resurrection, I love that scene. Jesus gave instruction to the ladies at the tomb to tell my disciples and Peter. Tell my disciples and Peter. It seems to me he's always saying, tell my disciples and be sure to tell Peter that I go before you into Galilee. Then there by the sea, after breakfast is over, he asked Peter only one question. Not, why did you deny me? Nothing like that. One question. He asked it 3 times. Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? There's no hint of bitterness in Jesus toward Peter or any of the others. He's concerned that they love him. Amazingly, we can see this patience without bitterness in those who have become followers of our Lord. Richard Baxter was a minister in England years ago. Lived one time in a sea of slander and confessed himself weary of it, though not bitter about it. And he was offered exemption from prison. You won't have to go to prison if you just quit preaching. But he refused and went to prison without a murmur. How easy it is for us to become bitter at others. How we need the presence of God in His Spirit that we might be patient and not become bitter. Those who bear this fruit do not become resentful. Many people live all their lives in a state of resentment, anger. Sometimes the resentment is vague against God or the world or just things, and sometimes it's focused on persons. Some people are in open rebellion against God, a look, a faith, which has called them to be as they are, possibly deformed, disfigured, crippled, just haven't done well. They burn with a continued resentment toward God or people they feel they have done them wrong. We do not see this in Jesus or in those who love Him. Jesus, of course, had every reason to be resentful toward people. It was the religious leaders, the persons who should have been most eagerly awaiting His arrival, those who were supposed to be sensitive to the thing of God. It was these people more than any others who hounded Him to death. Yet as the soldiers drove the nails through His hands and hung Him up to die, He prayed for those who hung Him there. Father, forgive them. They do not know what they're doing. No indication of any resentment at all. And if we remember this prayer of Jesus, and just a little parenthesis here, sometimes people ask me, what's your favorite scripture? If I had to choose one passage of Scripture that's probably my favorite tonight, it would be, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. If we'd remember this prayer and remember how patient Jesus has been with us, and if we would apply this prayer to others who do us wrong, who hurt us, who keep our hearts, it would keep our hearts free of resentment. When someone hurts us, when someone does us wrong, when someone says something against us, if we, like our Lord, would pray for them, Father, forgive them. If we'd make allowances for them, they don't really know what they're doing. If we would seek, as our Lord did at Calvary, to serve them to the end, then as God has loved us even though we were so unlovable, we could begin to love rather than be filled with resentment and hate. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. If we truly trust God and follow in the steps of Jesus, we will find that resentment cannot live in our hearts. And those who bear this fruit of patience do not seek revenge. Many people think that if they have been unjustly dealt with, to long for, to seek revenge, to give as good as I got or better than I got, is natural, justifiable. But hate finds no answer in hate in the one of the heart who lives in Jesus. The supernatural love, which is the fruit of the Spirit, excludes hate. Nowhere do you ever find Jesus trying to get even with anyone for anything. Often he pointed out faults and sins in an attempt to get people to see their need for repentance, but never, never, never did he seek revenge. In patience, he went on loving, caring, seeking to save all the way to Calvary. Now, no one can deny that the longing for revenge is a poison to the one who longs for it. If you live in every day with this longing for revenge, this wanting to get even, this wanting to hurt somebody like you've been hurt, it will destroy you. It will poison your life. The longing for revenge may be natural. It may be legally justified, but that cannot remove its deadly nature. It still will destroy. Some of you are familiar with the classic little book entitled Pilgrim's Progress. John Bunyan wrote that years ago. If he'd been filled with hate toward the people who unjustly imprisoned him for 12 years for preaching the gospel, if he'd been filled with hate, he would never have been able to write the Pilgrim's Progress. If Paul had come to hate those who placed him in jail, he could never have been able to write letters from jail saying, as he did to the Philippians, "Rejoice." And again I say, rejoice. He was not rejoicing, of course, because of his imprisonment, but he was rejoicing over the grace of God that was sufficient for every need that he had there in prison. If you and I were ever to get this gift, if we don't seek to get even, if we quit trying to get as good as we got, if we quit repaying evil for evil, but rather repay good for evil, if we don't do that, if we hold hate, resentment, bitterness in our hearts, any of the joy Christianity that might have been ours will be lost. The joy of living will be gone. Let us take the offensive and overcome evil with good, as did our Lord, and in patience seek always to overcome evil with good. Those who bear the fruit of the Spirit, patience, do not become bitter. Do not become resentful. Do not seek revenge. But one further word. Just as God's patience is not to be presumed upon, in just a few verses of Scripture, God says, "My Spirit will not always strive with man." And again, he that continually hardens his heart shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Again, it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. Just as God's patience was not to be presumed upon, so the Christian's patience is not a spiritless good nature that puts up with things which he cannot escape or would not prevent. Rather, it's a patience with a purpose. Those of the New Testament who bear this fruit turn the world upside down. They turn it right side up, if you would, for God. And the enemy did not know how to deal with such unheard of patience and persistence. You remember reading in Acts when Paul was drug out of the city of Lystra and stoned? They thought he was dead. They left him there, sure that he was dead. When he came to himself, what did he do? He got up and went back into the city to meet with the followers who had come to Christ. He wouldn't give up. He wouldn't quit. Peter and the other disciples were arrested and imprisoned for preaching the gospel. They were beaten and told never to preach about Jesus again. But the next time you see them, upon their release from prison, they are preaching about Jesus. Patience. Doesn't quit. Doesn't ever give up. This is patience with a purpose. It stands firm, unafraid, and unmovable in its efforts to right the world for Christ. How all of us need more of this in our dealings with others. Pray that God will give us His Spirit that we might bear this fruit in our lives. Lord Jesus, we long to be perfectly whole. And if we are perfectly whole and filled with Your Spirit, we'll truly bear this fruit of patience. Not become bitter, resentful, seeking revenge, filled with hate. But rather we'll love as You've loved. And pray for those who persecute us. Pray even as Jesus did upon the cross. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. O Lord Jesus, so live within us that the difference that You make and the life that You live through us will be made plain. And it's in Your name that we pray.